Corinthians chapter 11. Thanks for coming out this morning. I know it's so cold and then it's snowy, and I know what the flesh says. Oh, you know, why don't they just roll over and just stay under the covers and stay warm? But remember this, it's good to have good habits, but I hope that we can be very conscious, and it's so difficult. For those that come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that's 156 times a year. Anything you do 156 times a year, you kind of are on automatic, right? I mean, you know, we brush our teeth, you know, just the habits of life. I get up, I get a shower, and you just go through them mindlessly. Try to do this when you come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Be conscious that habits you do unconsciously. This is not what we want to do. You want to come, you want to be on your toes spiritually so that you can hear from the Lord and you can worship Him. I love that song we just sang. It's a great song just to really just declare the majesty, the glory, the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great song that I hope got a hold of your heart. I tell you all this all the time. I love those songs where I can almost yell but stay on tune because, I want to shout from the mountaintops how great a God we serve. So remember that as you come to worship the King of Kings. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to begin with verse 4. I went through verse 4 last Sunday, but I kind of want to just get you in gear for what we'll discuss this morning. In fact, I'll back up to verse 3, but verse 4 is what I'll begin from a teaching, preaching perspective this morning. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, let's look at that. It says, Paul, as he's writing to this young church at Corinth, he says, But I fear, speaking to them, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. And that's not a good thing, what he's saying there at the end of verse 4. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? Verse 8. I robbed other churches, or basically took money from them, so just so you know. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Basically what Paul's saying there is, you know, we need money to live on, and when he was ministering to the church at Corinth, he didn't take a dime from them. He said, you know, the churches of Macedonia supplied when I had needs, when I had wants. They supplied, but I didn't take a dime from you. Verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Basically, the boasting that he's talking about is, I'm going to tell everybody, I didn't take a dime from them when I was there, when I ministered to them. For 18 months, Paul ministered to the church at Corinth, and he's going to let it be known, no, you can accuse me of all things, because Paul had false accusers, he had enemies, he had people that wanted to discredit him, and he said, you know what, I'm going to tell everybody, look, I didn't take a dime from them, I was there to minister to them. Now, verse 11, why or wherefore? Because I love you not? God knows. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion. He's saying, I'm going to cut off people that are trying to accuse me things that are not right. That wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Title of the message this morning, How Can You Know Who to Trust? How can you know who to trust? I want to ask you this morning. Are you conscious? Are you aware that there is a battle going on? That there is a spiritual battle going on every day of your life? That the devil wants to deceive you? The devil wants to derail you. The devil wants to get a hold of your mind, which then he'll be able to get a hold of your heart, and he wants you to just slightly move off center. So then the next day, he can have you move slightly off center again. Did it kind of scare you? I know you've known these verses, but where it talks about in verse 14 that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, and his ministers, the servants of Satan, the fallen angels, they transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness. And so, how can you know who you can trust? Some of you know we're doing some work on the basement, and one of our finishers, drywall guys, is Carlos, and he's a great guy. And so, you know, I try. And so if you do work around here, I'll usually buy you lunch. And so it works out well. I learned that a long time ago. Happy stomach's a happy man. And so so we have lunch, but it's also just an opportunity, right? Just sitting across the table. And I had already witnessed to Carlos a couple of times, and you know how that goes, right? I mean, you don't want to cram things down people's throat. But boy, I wanted to witness to him again because I knew he didn't get it. Because he still was thinking God would somehow let him into heaven, right? He had false religion. So he looks at me, this was Friday, he looks at me, we're sitting across the table eating, and he looks at me and he goes, what's the difference between your religion and all the others? And I got to just share with him. I knew he was Roman Catholic. I said, would you like to know the difference specifically between Roman Catholicism and being a Baptist? And so we discussed that. But then he asked this question. And I'd already had this message, was working on this message. He goes, well, how do you know who's right? Man, that's a great question, isn't it? How do you know who's right? And man, I got to share with him and share with him some scripture, and you pray for him. His name's Carlos. You pray for him. He agreed that we will have a Bible study. Just the two of us. And I told him, I said, Carlos, I want to show you in the Bible. The only way we know who is right is we've got to know God's Word. You see, because the devil can be a Baptist preacher. The devil can be a Sunday school teacher. Is that not what the Bible says? How do you know who you can trust? Well, let's just look at a few thoughts, and we're going to look at how you can know who you can trust by knowing who you can't trust and some of the things that the devil does. First thing is they distort truth. Look at verse 4. I mentioned this last week, but I want to give you another perspective of verse 4. Let's look at verse 4 again. It's this, what it says in verse 4, it says, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit whom you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. What Paul's saying is, he has feared. You see this in verse 3? He says, I fear this. I fear if somebody that comes in, they preach another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, that you might well bear with him. You'll fall for it. Now this is fun. It's in our English, it's limited sometimes. He says, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus. What that word another is different than another gospel. That word another means this. If someone comes and preaches another similar, but not the same Jesus. See, I would say 90% of religions in America, they all talk about Jesus. I mean, even Islam that denies the resurrection, they talk about Jesus. Right? Nearly every religion of the world talks about Jesus in some sense, but it's a similar, but different. Similar, but a different Jesus, another Jesus. When it talks about another gospel, it's talking about a gospel that's completely foreign. It's talking about something that's not similar, something that's completely different. And Paul said this, he said, you'll fall for it. You might well bear with him. Someone preaches a Jesus that's kind of just similar, but not right. And what's the issue? What's the issue is that false teachers distort the truth. Now here's the toughest part of the message this morning for you. Because if, and I know you are normal people, but There's something that's different about most of you, and I love this. I believe this with all my heart. Most of you want to do what's right. Most of you want to honor Christ. Most of you struggle doing that, though. I will tell you one of the biggest issues of life, one of the number one reasons why you and I struggle with doing what we intend to do. Many of you will leave the service this morning, you say, by God's grace, I'm going to do, and you're going to have a plan. Most popular time of the year to make New Year's resolutions, right? And I'm not opposed to that. Be careful about anything you vow to God. The Bible warns us that He takes that seriously. But I'm okay to have a time of review to say, how's my 2017 been for Jesus Christ? Right? But here's the toughest part of the message. You, each one of you, you need to know the Bible. You've got to personally study the Bible. It's always funny to me. And look, I don't know all the Bible in any way, shape, or form. There's so much more for me to learn. Look, all I know is I just have to be 1 week ahead of you. I'm not ready for the next. I'm not ready for verse 16 on. I've read them. I have some thoughts, but I couldn't preach that today. But there's so much to learn. There's so much to absorb. But I will tell you this. You are setting yourself up to be fooled because of this. Every person in this room, you have an opinion, and you are impressed with your opinion just like I am. I think I'm right. You know, I've told you this. I remember this guy said this a long time ago. He said, you know what your problem is? You always think you're right. And I said, do you always think you're wrong? You know, I mean, maybe I say it with a little bit more bravado, right? But everybody thinks they're right. We have an opinion. Opinions are worthless unless they're true, right? You see, the only way we can calibrate our opinions, the devil is subtle. There's a battle going on for every single one of you. If you don't realize there's a battle going on every day of your life, then you have fallen for the subtle deceit of the devil. You see, all he does is he distorts truth just slightly. Let me just tell you, some of the avenues of the devil are music. Some of the avenues of the devil are entertainment. Some of the avenues of the devil are just, you know, not being in the Word of God, not praying. Had someone tell me this morning they've had a great victory in their life, and they've said, you know, one of the things, and Eric, where's Eric at? There you are. Eric, they complimented you in Sunday school. They said, you know, it was based on your Sunday school teaching. They just decided that they were going to have a conversation with the Lord all day long. Just talk to the Lord as they were going through their day. And that's what the Bible means when it says pray without ceasing, praying always, right? Is just be in communication with the Lord at all times, talking to them. And they've had great success, and they complimented you, so that's cool. They've had great success, but recently I said, well, how things going? They said, you know, not terrible, but I'm not having, you know, the victory I was. And I know why. I just haven't been talking to the Lord like I was. I got busy. I got distracted. I would go hours, maybe even days. My communication with the Lord wasn't what it was. And the beautiful thing is they notice the difference. You see, you can be right with the Lord, walking with the Lord, and all it takes is 24, 48 hours because you think, I've got this one. I can kind of coast spiritually. If you think you can coast, if you think you can skip a day in the Word of God, if you think you can skip days, hours, weeks, not really communicating with the Lord, then you've bought the lie. See, the devil just distorts truth, and there's a battle going on. All he wants to do is derail you. The battle of the devil is more focused on believers than it is the lost. Do you understand that? That's what my Bible says when I read my Bible. I find the Bible that the devil, who is the devil attacking? Who is the devil after? It's God's children. It's those that have committed themselves through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's who the devil's attacking. You understand this? A lost person isn't a risk to the devil. They're exactly where he wants them. But a saved person, someone that's born again, that has the truth, those are the ones he's worried about. And so many of us, we go day after day, week after week, and we don't realize that the devil's after us. People think it's just silly, right? Just silly. You're just silly, right? Most of you know the position I take about alcohol. You know the position our church takes about alcohol, right? And I was talking to someone recently and they totally misunderstand. They totally misunderstand. You see, it's not so much taking the bottle, the can, and that's not the main issue. It's the outcome of the issue. You see, I have no idea why any Christian would ever drink. Except you've been fooled by the devil. And you want to be cool. And man, you love that, right? So I was talking to somebody and I said, yeah, you misunderstand. They thought all I want to do is stop drinking. I said, no, it's the heart. I said, what bothers me, I said, is that your heart is so deceived, that it's so deceived that you think this is okay. And they actually were looking at me like I was the one that was missing out. They were looking at me and pitying me like, oh, you poor guy. You poor little boy. You don't understand. The issue wasn't the... The issue was, how much can we be deceived as believers? Talked to somebody recently, and they told me they went to see a movie, and look, I watch movies at home. We use ClearPlay, right? So ClearPlay removes all the cussing and all the scenes, and I probably watch movies that, I need to be disciplined about that. Let's just be clear, right? Television, movies, that's an avenue. That's how the devil's gonna just pull you in. You gotta have entertainment so much, right? So again, I just say have discernment, right? So this person was telling me they went to a movie and they didn't check it out ahead of time. And so they're in that movie and boom, a bad scene comes up. And I said, well, did you leave? No, I turned my head. $15. I don't know how much a movie is anymore. $15, whatever it is, They didn't tell me $15, but I'm invested. I just turned my head. And they had taken someone with them, and I said, and they said, I know, you don't want me to go to movies. And I said, no, you missed out again. You missed out. It's not the issue of going to movies. I said, the issue is that you are so deceived that you didn't even have the awareness to say, I wonder what's in this movie. You didn't have enough care to say, I wonder what's in this movie, so the person I'm taking, I don't want to subject them to this. And then I said, what's so bad is, I said, that our hearts, look, and I'm the same, I'm giving you examples of how we're fooled, right? I'm just giving you an example. Where was the issue? Where was the issue of the heart that just so turned his stomach that said, you know what, when I see that on the screen, I'm going to leave because that's so repulsive to me. We no longer hate sin, do we? Just. Because man, this is a good movie. Just. They only said the F word 4 times. It was a pretty good movie. Do you ever remember the day when they just used the Lord's name in vain and you said, I'm done. I'm not watching that movie. Now we text OMG. I'm bringing these things up not because, look, you know this, Christianity's not about rules. But how much have we been deceived? I think part of it is because we don't know we're in a battle. You see, Paul said, I think if someone came and they preached a similar Jesus, but not the right one, someone came with a different spirit, but they came with a different gospel, you wouldn't even know it. You would bear with it. You'd say, amen, Jesus is good. Paul's saying, I want you to know the truth. You see, we are in a battle. How do you know who you can trust? You gotta know the truth. And it takes work. Right? It's funny, people will ask me sometimes, and you really don't have to know much Bible for people to think you're a Bible scholar, right? So you gotta be real careful that you don't get puffed up, but people will go, how do you know that? And I say, well, you just kind of put the Bible under your pillow at night, and it just kind of seeps through. And then you wake up and you're like, oh wow, I've got it's just amazing. And but it's because you have to study. The reason we don't know the Bible is because we don't want to know the Bible. It takes work, right? I love skill. I love watching people with talent. I love that. I want you to know that anyone that has a talent and a skill, they had to work on it, they had to hone it, they had to develop it, they had to discipline themselves, right? Because anything you're successful at, one, to God be the glory, but from a human perspective, you have to work at your craft to be good, do you not? You see, as Christians, there's a battle going on. And what the devil wants to do is just distort the truth just a little bit. All those examples I gave, right, they're issues with me. I want to tell you this morning that the way I prayed this morning is, oh God, open my eyes to where I've been deceived. You see, the devil's so sneaky, he's so subtle, that every believer in this room, we're being fooled. We need to ask the Lord to help us, because the devil distorts the truth. It's the truth that'll set us free. Where have we bought into the world system and it just messes us up? You see, it's Christians. We can be fooled. And that's exactly the plan of the devil. How do we know who we can trust? It's, you got to know the truth. Look at verse 5 and 6. I want to show you some of the tactics of false teachers again. He says, Paul says this, it's interesting. He says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. Now, I want to suggest, look at this in verse 13. I want to suggest who I think he's talking to about these apostles. He says, for such are false prophets. So he's speaking of that in verse 13. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. These are false apostles. And so I believe that in the context of this passage, that when Paul says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, that what I believe Paul's saying is, the apostles that you all are listening to, these guys that have exalted themselves as apostles, these guys that are false apostles, these guys that are preaching another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, these guys, he goes, you know, he says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but then Paul says in verse 6, but though I be rude in speech, again, Paul was not a great speaker. Paul was not somebody that would just fill the Colosseum because, man, this guy can speak. He couldn't, but God used him in a great way. That should so encourage you. We think Paul was going to be this dynamic, great speaker. No, and nor do you have to be. All we must be is faithful. Isn't that good news? So Paul says in verse 6, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. So Paul says this in verse 7. He says, I have abased myself. I have humbled myself that you might be exalted, that you might be lifted up. And so he's saying here that the false teachers, not only do they distort truth, but they exalt themselves. They exalt themselves. This is important. Look, I want everything to be buttoned up. I want everything to be first class. But you understand this, that false teachers exalt themselves. I want you to know, Hope Baptist Church is not about Pastor Steve Hall. Look, I love this work. I am invested in this work. I am committed to this work. But more than that, I need to be committed to Jesus Christ. I love everything about it. I love everything about it. I love everything about it. But I want you to remember this. And what I want to do one day is I want to position us so well. See, this is my goal. Remember I told you our goal is we want to be a church planting church. We want to be a church that plants other churches and communities so that we can reach neighborhoods, we can reach communities, we can see people saved, we can help hurting families, and the pastor will know people, right? That's what we want to be, as a church planting church. But one day as well, one day, and I'm planning on this being many years down the road, though you never know, right? You have a heart attack and die, but not planning on that. And so I want to set us up to where this ministry isn't so beholden to Steve Hall. That's why, you know, my heart's desire, my prayer, I pray this so regularly that my heart's desire is that every believer, every person in this room, you will have at least one disciple. One person that you are coming alongside their life and you are teaching them the Word of God and you are walking with them in their journey with Christ and you are helping them along so that they can grow and mature in Jesus Christ. I want you to know who that is. One day, I would love to be able to walk up to 80% of our congregation and say, "Who are you discipling?" And you would know. You would know, right? I know this is always, I don't usually ask this. I'll go, "Hey, where are you studying in your Bible?" Second Corinthians, right? And so it's tough because, you know, the average Christian, if I walked up and, "Hey, where's your personal Bible study today?" They'd be like, because they're not in the Bible. So I don't do that. You know, my objective isn't to embarrass people. My objective isn't to humble people. But it's, you see, what we've got to understand this, that it's not about us. But I'm telling you, false teachers, they exalt themselves. It's all about them. You see, I mean, the glitz, the glamour, I mean, it's cool. Fastest growing church in Cincinnati. Man, they can put on a show. I've never met one person yet from the fastest growing church in Cincinnati. I'm talking not one, and I've met dozens and dozens. I worked with them before I became a pastor. Pastor Growing Church of Cincinnati. I ask him this simple question. What does God require for heaven? All I ask. What does God require from heaven? Not one. I'm talking dozens. I'm telling you, it's probably approaching 100 people now that I've met. Not one person from the fastest growing church in Cincinnati that I've met. There are probably saved people there. I'm not suggesting that. They could not tell me the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to get complex. I'm just saying, you know, this would be a sufficient answer. I realize that, you know, what God requires is He requires that I must turn from my sin, that I must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead satisfied the wrath of God, and I, by faith, I gave my sin, I gave my life to Christ, and He saved me from my sin. Now that may be more complicated. It doesn't have to be that complicated. So I was trying to keep it simple, but then I get so excited, I go off. And it doesn't have to be that complicated. It's, did you surrender your life to Christ, knowing that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that Christ is the only hope, not your works, not your baptism, not your church membership, not anything. It's Christ and Christ alone. His righteousness is the only thing that'll satisfy God. Any variety of that. Not a one. But I'm telling you, they can put on a show. And it is amazing. I want to do everything first class here. But what we've got to be careful of is this. And I want nothing less than first class. But I must always know this. Our litmus test is the honor of Christ. I'm not competing against anybody else. It's not about exalting ourselves. It's about exalting Jesus Christ. You see, these false teachers that came into Corinth, man, they were flashy. They were great speakers. Man, they could make your head spin and they could talk a little Jesus and it can sound good. But at the end of the day, they were false apostles masquerading themselves. It said, "Be not surprised, the devil manifests himself as an angel of light and his ministers, the devil's servants, come across as the ministers of righteousness." The funny thing is, I know some of you are even uncomfortable that I would get so specific, you know, to say, it's like, because I think a lot of you may be sitting here this morning, you're like, no, you know, there are no false churches in Cincinnati. No? Just Corinth? No, they're all good? Just leave them alone? And I generally do leave them alone, but I want to tell you that false teachers, they distort the truth. They kind of similar, but not right. False teachers, right? False teachers. They exalt themselves. Now, I want you to be clear. Hope Baptist Church isn't all that. And I never want us to preach this, and this is not what I'm preaching this morning. We're not the only good church. There's a lot of good churches. There's a lot of people that preach the true gospel, and I praise the Lord for that. We're not preaching that we are some kind of group, that we're the only ones that got it right. Ain't no way. That's not what I'm preaching at all. I'm just telling you, we need to open our eyes and realize this, that we are in a spiritual battle. And where are we dealing with? Or does Cincinnati just not have that? Does America just not have the false teachers? Here's the key. they're difficult to identify because they look just like a Christian. But it's subtle. You got to listen. You see, they distort the truth and they exalt themselves. The third thing that's interesting is, this is good for us. I want you to think about this. Paul says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them. He uses a pretty blunt term there, to do service. But he tells them, he said, I didn't take a dime from you. False teachers love money. They love money. So if you know, my daughter and son-in-law moved to Topeka, Kansas. Topeka, Kansas, and who's been to Topeka, Kansas? I'd never been to Kansas, right? The only time I'd been to Kansas was when I watched The Wizard of Oz, right? And so, Kansas. I mean, and when we entered Kansas, it met all my expectations. Like, black clouds, right? I was like, oh, man, if Toto had been running down the side of the road, I'd said, oh, no, what's happening? But it was like the biggest storm they'd had in so long. I mean, you know, we're moving them in and, like, just raining. And so it met all those expectations. But Topeka, Kansas, some of you have heard of this church. Westboro, yeah. I was like, there it went. I'm losing it. And, but it's Westboro Baptist Church. How many of you have heard of Westboro Baptist Church, right? And, you know, they're the hating church. You know, they'll picket, military funerals. And I mean, they're everything that God isn't. And they, you know, they'll, God hates, you know, gay people. And you know, the Bible has, much to say about sin, and homosexuality is one of those sins, and we need to love the homosexual. You understand that? A homosexual can come to know Christ, but they must repent and turn from their sin and abandon their sin. You understand? That's what the Bible teaches. But they are everything that the Bible is not. But here's what's fascinating. I never knew. Do you ever wonder, why does a church do that? What's their motive? Do you ever wonder what their motive was? I never understood their motive. I thought, that's the dumbest thing. My daughter and son-in-law, they actually picketed their church. And they're a Baptist church. And so I'm like, what are you doing? Because they're like 10 minutes away from them, right? So that's why they're even on my mind. And I never understood what's their motive, but I finally did what was explained to me, and this makes complete sense. There are a bunch of kooks in the world, are there not? And so it's interesting. I think about 80% of you raised your hand, and we are not a hand-raising church at all. I mean, you know, it's like, get a question. You know, like, hey, I can't believe you guys actually raised your hand for that. But it's, so that means that everybody must have heard about them, because the 20% that didn't go, I'm just not raising my hand. And so I know you have, right? So it's, here's the interesting thing, and this made so much sense to me. The reason you knew about them is because of the news, right? Nobody goes to Kansas, right? And so you knew about them because of the news. And that's all they wanted. You know why? This is crazy. What I was told, and they learned a little bit, is when they got media impressions, that's what it's called, media impressions, right? And so it's impressions, connections with people. That's all they wanted. You know why? There's so many kooks out there that they would send money to this teeny church, less than 50 people. Millions. Millions. Went to that nonprofit work. And guess who's going to get the money? They're making a lot of money when they put those signs up. Now what I love is, you haven't seen much about them. I know their main leader died, but I do believe the media also kind of caught wind of that. And they said, you know what? We're not going to give them any more media impressions. But you see, I finally did make sense. I never did understand, why would somebody be so anti-Bible? Why would somebody be so anti-truth? Why would somebody just do the opposite of what the Bible says? Oh, it's the love of money. Got money. I don't care what people think. You see, that was their motive. You see, false teachers, and so now, just so we can kind of bring it back home, you're like, yeah, false teachers, man, they love money. What about you? What about you? Is money your driver? You see, we can talk about false teachers, and I will tell you, it's a red flag, right? I should not be about money, and I love Paul, that Paul had such a distinction. Paul said this, and this is important. You want to minister to people? Don't take from them. Just give. Just give, right? Just give. Paul said, I didn't take a dime from you guys. And he was above reproach. So when they try to accuse him of things, he goes, well, what was my motive? My motive was love. And Paul could preach that. He could boast about that. It was a beautiful thing. But now, just before we get too careful that we say, all these false teachers, their motive is money. If you ask me today, it's always an issue for Christians. You know the number one thing that gets in the way of Christians really diving in and serving the Lord? Because after you work your job, you're so exhausted that, man, I just don't have time. The only thing that a Christian shouldn't have time for, we shouldn't have time not to serve Jesus. We should have time to serve Jesus. What happens is, and I want to tell you this, this is important, and I know it's easier said than done. I've told my kids this. Get a job that you're good at. Because if you're good at it, it doesn't suck the life out of you. Right? If your job's sucking the life out of you, I know this, that you've got to still provide for your family, so you just can't quit a job. And honey, the pastor said, you know, it's just, I quit. How many, I don't even want to see raise hand. Anyway, you're like, a lot of people. How many would love to quit your job, right? And so, I'm just kidding. And so, you'd love to quit. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm just telling you this is structure your life so that your heart, energy, and delight is about Jesus. Easier said than done. But see, we can have a big picture, right? There, you may be in a job and you say, boy, that's easier said than done, Pastor, but maybe have a 2-year plan, right? Maybe have a 2-year plan, and I know patience is a struggle with me, it's a struggle with most of us, that say, well, how do I get from point A to point B to where, you know, I've gotta put, you know, food on the table. But I think most Christians, they would tell me this, most Christians would say, you know, I'm not doing what I should be doing. And part of it is because we're so tired. We're just wore out. Well, have a plan. How are you going to get less wore out, right? I'd ask the Lord, give me energy, right? I mean, we saw a young lady last night has MS. MS, man, I mean, the more I learn about that, it's rough. Sucks the energy out of you, right? And so I've got to be careful. I'm just telling you that whatever energy level you have, try to structure your life so your energy goes towards the things of God. Right? Not toward the things of money. That's all. That was my point. A lot easier to preach than it is to implement. But see, we serve a big God, and I don't have the solution. But maybe today you say, you know, I don't want to be like these false teachers, these false apostles, and just, I love money. Or you really don't love money, but money kind of, or the things you have to do to get the money kind of dominate your life, and there's not a lot left after that. Ask God to say, God, I need some help. I have no idea how to figure this out. I don't want my life just to be about making money. I know you got to pay the bills. But you see, that's another lie of the devil. Easier said than done. But have you given that over to the Lord? Have you said, God, you know my problem, and it's bigger than me. I would so love to do what the pastor preached about this morning, but I have no clue. He makes it sound so easy. I need your help. That's exactly where God wants you to be. He wants you to realize that you can't fix it. You can't figure it out, but He's a big enough God that He can. And so, just be careful that we're not like these. And then two more thoughts, and then I'm almost finished. Look at verse 12. And so Paul talks about the money. He says, why am I going to brag about not taking money? He says, because I love you. No, he said, God knows I love you. Now look at verse 12. False teachers, it's this. But what I do, Paul says, this is what I do. That I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. And so, here's the issue. Paul said this, I'm doing this for you. False teachers, they're self-absorbed. This is an issue. He says, I'm doing this to help you. Whereas these false teachers, they're doing it for themselves. They're doing it to try to bring me down so that more attention is to them. And then the cycle would say because they love money, they love being exalted, and they just love being the main attention. Just know this, as Paul said this, he said, I do this for you. And so let me just tell the kids here real quick. This is so important. How do you know who to trust? For all the kids, I want all the kids paying attention, looking at me. All the kids, here we go. Oh, hello. Been a while. But it's good. Here's what I want you to know. Who do you know who you can trust? I want you to start here. I want you to know this. And I know all the kids here just about. You can trust your parents. Who do you know who you can trust? What's going to happen one day is you're going to think your parents are your enemies. You're going to think your parents are the ones that are out to get you. You're going to think your parents are the ones, they don't know anything. Trust your parents. But know the Word of God. You see, what will happen is, you know, it's, you get your friends, right? Now this is the saddest thing, right? I love this. You know, my son told me this. I don't think he'd be okay. This is several years ago. He goes, you don't have any friends. And I said, I have 642, says Facebook. I didn't say that. And so he said, you don't have any friends. You know, and he's like, down to Pensacola, I have lots of friends. Lots of friends, right? I love life. You know, it's, I wanted to say, how many friends you have now? You know, because you leave college, you kind of get a job, and you know, what you find out is, you all are my friends. I know I'm hurting, but you all are my friends. My wife's my best friend. You all are my friends. You're all I have. You know, what's funny is, there was a time where he listened to his friends more than he listened to his mom and dad. And you know what I love is, it's just cool. Hang in there, parents. I wish I could read you the note that he wrote. He's really good. He's words of affirmation, and he knows I am too. And so he might be playing me. But I tell my kids, that's okay. You know, just manage me. Manage me. Man, he wrote a note that was really good. Really good. And it's come full circle, right? Not that he's always listening to me, but I think he realizes this. It's, who can I trust? It's the ones that aren't all about themselves. See, what your friends will do, they're all about themselves. They want to pull you into what they want. You see, and your parents are trying to help you. Their parents are trying to direct you. Your parents are trying to say, hey, you know what? You might want to think about that. So kids, I want you to know this. The number one person we can trust is God. Number one. God has never failed. He can't fail, never will. But I will tell you this, parents are God-given. And I know there are some bad parents out there. And there could be secret bad parents that I don't know about here. But I don't know of any bad parents here. I just want to tell all our kids here, if you are in doubt who to trust your parents. Now, if your parents are doing things that you know the Bible speaks against, that's different. But I want you to know this. Who can you trust? Trust your parents. They're the ones that love you. They're the ones that are invested. They're the ones that care. They're the ones that they've abased themselves so that you might be exalted. They want the best for you. Final thought, the false teachers, and then we're done. Final thought is, I probably should have used a different phrase, but you see this in verse 14 and 15. I said they're externally focused. What I probably should have said is something like, they're focused on the outside, on the appearance, and not the heart. You know, so when I say externally focused, I know that can, I regretted it after I'd given it to Abby, but she had already done the notes. But what I meant is they're focused on the appearance, not the heart. You see, that's where Satan, the Bible says in verse 14, the Bible says that he transforms himself into an angel of light. His ministers are transformed to ministers of righteousness. And you know what? They look good. They're a wolf in sheep's clothing. Looks like a sheep. Until you get to the innards and you see, oh wow, it's my enemy. You see, you got to be careful that you're not just sucked in because it looks good, sounds good. I'm just telling you, the devil is the master of deceit. How do you know who you can trust? You got to know the Bible. And you better know this. the devil's after you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the devil knows who you are. He's got ministers that know where you live, and they're after you. If that's news to you, that's a little scary. Because if it's news to you, he's probably got you just where he wants you. Know this. How do you know who you can trust? We can only trust God through his word. And we've got to know what the tactics of the devil are. Let's pray.